It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verich. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a federal appeals court struck down an important provision in the Affordable Care Act. We'll learn more about that decision and how it could impact coverage around the country. First, it's Food Friday. It's a busy week coming up for holiday get-togethers, and a lot of us are going to have to figure out a dish to bring along for family and friends. We're going to focus in on some creative appetizers, the kind of things that can steal some thunder from the main course and get people talking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a unique hors d'oeuvre, finger food, or salad that you know you can surprise people with? Do you dress up classic foods with some bold flavors? Do you worry about it looking good, too? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. Lori, good to have you back.
Good to be back. I'm glad you didn't call me a foodie today. We'll get into the reason why I'm now questioning my foodie status a little bit later.
I think we stopped foodie a while ago. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about that in a bit. But let's start with the appetizers. You've been thinking about how to make something, you know, unique, maybe a cut above or a new twist on the classics. What makes for an appetizer that's going to get people talking?
I mean, we all know crudités, dip, bring cheese, of course, in Wisconsin, bring a charcuterie platter even if you want to. But there is always that feeling of, it's the holidays, I want to be festive, I want to do something a little bit more. I actually backed up a couple of years ago when we were doing bowls of fun things to bring for the holidays, and I brought back a couple of things that people mentioned at the time they really, really liked. Bring some festive, fun, easy to do at home, jazzing up basic popcorn or caramel corn. The recipe that I kept getting asked for was you take a couple of cups of cooked popcorn, you toss it with melted butter, chili powder, cumin, cinnamon, and a little bit of salt, maybe a little bit of cayenne pepper if you want, and then you drizzle it with melted chocolate.
Wow.
And, you know, spread it out on a foil-lined sheet, let that firm up in your refrigerator, and you have Mexican-spiced popcorn that one person made it and told me it was gone in 5 minutes.
I was going to say, that sounds like something that's going to be demolished pretty quickly.
Yeah. So even if that's technically not an appetizer, it plays to that salty, sweet, and of course the crunchy that chefs are always telling you. You want a variety of flavors and textures in a dish. The other person who really flags the popcorn on my end is the woman, the blog was loveandflower.com. She makes basic caramel corn, but she throws in Indian curry spices into the caramel mix. She says that's another one that goes really, really quickly when you make that as caramel corn.
Well, something that I think is kind of fun, I've seen people do this, I've had family do this, I've been at events where you forget the sit-down meal and it's all hors d'oeuvres and appetizers and finger foods, however you want to categorize it. That can be a really fun way. And then you don't have the, you know, the logistics. Okay, you know, everybody come and sit and serve this and serve this. Just people kind of pick away at it as they go.
So I've got a question when you want to do that. Do you set up one big table of things to pick at, or do you have stations around the house or around the party area where, okay, maybe we've got the seafood over here, or maybe we've got the veggies over here, and is there a special table for the gluten-free folks?
Well, I don't entertain that often because I'm not like a people kind of person, but I will say, I have tried to do that, to spread it out, to overcome the curse of everybody gathering in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And what has happened is everybody still gathers in the kitchen, and the stuff in the other rooms just goes uneaten for a while until you bring it in. Yeah, I can't, you know, you need to like force people into other rooms sometimes.
Well, all right. Now that brings up another great question. Just how safe is the kitchen at a party? There is that cliche, we all end up in the kitchen.
Right.
I know that happens a lot at my house. But what happens if you're the cook and you're still putting things together? Or what's the etiquette of, I'm showing up to my host's house with raw ingredients to which I will then apply my magic and actually cook at the venue. I want to hear from people, our listeners, I want to know, what's the etiquette in, do you show up with something ready to go, ready to set out, or is it okay to maybe tweak a few things when you get to your host's venue? Do you dare Show up with raw ingredients and cook from scratch when you get to the party.
Yeah, that depends for me. You know, if it's close family and I know exactly what they're making, there are things I bring raw ingredients and make. Showing it up at just a friend's house or something like that, I say light assembly only at the end. Like, I'm going to dress the salad right at that last point because I didn't want the stuff to get soggy on the way over.
And that, again, plays into the whole, we all end up in the kitchen. Well, if you're still putting the meal together, you already know that there is going to be a higher volume of traffic in the kitchen. So what do you do as a host if you know that's going to be happening? Does that mean you put things out earlier and you leave the space ready for your guests? There's a little bit of juggling here. And I've seen it work both ways. I've had people show up. Again, when they contacted me ahead of time and said, this is what I need to do, make certain you've got X number of cutting boards and whatever ready for me. I have had one person show up completely unannounced, raw ingredients. She had the perfect party dish, and it turned out she basically duplicated a dish I already had on the table.
Wow. So, win-win there,
so,
really.
So it can go both ways, but I want to know how everybody else handles it.
Well, Lori has put many questions on our holiday table. You can answer them at 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is with me for Food Friday. We are talking about great appetizers, snacks, finger foods, whatever you call them, things that you bring to that holiday meal or serve up if you are the host. Do you do events that are only that kind of food, the snacks and hors d'oeuvres, and forget the sit-down meal part of things? Call in at 800-642-1234 with your comments, questions, or answers to Lori's questions. We'll go to your calls now. Susan is with us in New Berlin. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hi. You were talking about how do you do the meals. Our family, when we would get together, it was like, I don't know, 30, 35, 40 people, and it was always, you know, from 2 years old all the way to, well, let's see, my dad, 85. And so we just had, I just put up my table as big as I could make it, and we put everything out, and it was graze all night, you know. But I called about a salad that I just made for a party, and it went out with the appetizers, and it was a huge hit. And I made it years ago and forgot about it and just did it again. Anyway, it's broccoli florets raw, although I blanch them.
Uh-huh. Good idea.
Just blanch them. And then cashews.
Okay. Yeah.
Red onions cut really tiny. And then either the recipe I had called for golden raisins, but you can also, I used cranberries, dried cranberries this time. And somebody else told me they've used dried cherries.
All right.
So I really think any fruit or all of them would be really good.
And then what do you dress that with, Susan?
You dress it with mayonnaise plus vinegar plus sugar.
Ooh.
And it makes that kind of coleslaw salad.
Susan, you know, thanks. Lori, look, you wanted to jump in, it looks like?
You've got the right idea. Vegetable salads are a fantastic idea for the holidays, especially when you dress them with, as you say, blanched vegetables and then a little bit of nuts or roasted chickpeas, if you're worried about nut allergies, and dried fruit. What is helpful at a party when you don't know how long something is going to be sitting out, and rooms can get a little warm, you may want to rethink the mayonnaise idea, but you are on the right track with the vinegar. You've got a little bit of pickling going on there. When you're doing a chopped salad, a vegetable salad that's going to be sitting out for a while, you may want to err on the side of a little bit more oil in a basic vinaigrette or adding some mustard to a basic vinaigrette. One of the things that does, obviously, it keeps the veggies moist. But it also is just a really good way to keep things a little bit fresher tasting when you've got a little bit of extra oil. It's also very, very helpful if you put a little honey in that vinaigrette. You're playing up the sweetness of the vegetables so that if the night goes on and things are looking a little limp, they're still going to have that wonderful, warm and vibrant taste.
Susan, thanks so much for that call. We're talking to WPR's Lori Skelton. It's Food Friday. We are brainstorming some creative holiday appetizers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite go-to appetizer, hors d'oeuvre, finger food, whatever you want to call it, when you want to impress the family and friends? Maybe it's easy to make, but still tasty. Do you have questions for Lori about what to do and how to do it? Call 800-642-1234. And do you just put out a spread of these kind of foods? And as Susan said there, you just graze through the evening or afternoon. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We continue our conversation with WPR's own Lori Skelton about creating unique appetizers for our holiday get-togethers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite finger food, appetizer, whatever you want to call it, to make, to eat at a holiday gathering? What makes it special? What questions do you have for Lori? Call 800-642-1234. Is there a traditional appetizer you could do without? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Stanley is with us in Marblehead. Stanley, hi.
Hi. One of my favorites are, what everybody really, really likes, are pickled duck eggs. And also another item called slippery gems, which are pickled ripe cucumbers. I pickle them with salt, vinegar, and sugar.
All right, a couple pickled options there.
Like those.
And do you pickle your own duck eggs, or is this something you pick up at the store?
What's in your pickling blend?
I pickle my own. I have jalapeno pepper in there, garlic, onion, and a little bit of cinnamon and some sugar, vinegar.
Wow!
That's no peppercorns, no bay leaf or anything.
Well,
oh,
yeah, jalapeno.
Peppercorns and a little bit of coriander.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds really good, Stanley. Thank you so much for that. Well, speaking of pickling, Lori, I want to get into a recipe you shared with us. You got a little bit of pickling in this one, I think. Shrimp recipe to put out. Tell us about this one.
If you're talking festive for me, you have to include shrimp. And it's been a longstanding tradition in the Skelton family when we get together on Christmas Eve that somebody has to bring the ring of cooked shrimp with cocktail sauce. And you want to maybe jazz that up a little. The problem is, of course, if you're going to do fresh shrimp for a party, peeling and deveining that many shrimp can be problematic. Now, I know you can buy peeled and deveined frozen shrimp. I've never been impressed with the flavor. And then I ran across, from an old issue of Gourmet magazine, this goes back about 20 years, a way to do a spicy lemon marinated shrimp. This recipe was for fresh shrimp, but I decided to try it with frozen, peeled and deveined frozen shrimp. I brought it in for a party here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and it was the first thing to go off the table. So this is one where you do a few things in stages. You start off with lemon juice and zest, a little more vinegar and oil, water, chili flakes, and salt, and you stir that up in a bowl until everything's dissolved. Then you take a separate pot of water. By this time, your shrimp should be thawed and rinsed, but they won't be cooked yet. Throw those shrimp in that pot of water with pickling spices. And here I think you need to have at least whole juniper, whole mustard seeds, allspice, cracked bay leaves, and whole black peppercorns. You can adjust, make some adjustments.
You can play with those
pickling mix, yeah. But those are, I think, flavors that really play up well with shrimp. You just barely cook your shrimp, 1 to 2 minutes. You don't want them completely cooked through because you're going to drain them and then add them to the marinade you've just made with ground coriander and vinegar and oil and sugar and pepper and all these good things. Once your shrimp has cooled slightly, you throw it into a zipper bag and you throw it in the refrigerator for at least 8 hours, but up to 3 days.
Wow.
So you can make this well ahead of time, then just serve in bowl of your choice. You may want to put a little ice under it if you know it's going to be out for a long time. But this was a really easy way to dress up frozen shrimp. I was utterly delighted that it was that easy and could be done, like I say, well in advance.
That's the spicy lemon marinated shrimp. You can find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I got to tell you, one of my favorite appetizers is that water chestnut wrapped in bacon.
Devil's on horseback.
That's what it's, I've never heard it called that.
Yep.
I've never heard it called that either. But where does that come from? Because they're so easy to eat. You can eat a ton of them. And, you know, you can eat that bacon and not feel bad because it's wrapped in a nice vegetable. And I just don't know where that came from.
Charlie, you know, thanks. You can pretend your bacon's the vegetable dish, Lori.
You know, that's a really good question. I have no idea where it originated. If I'm not mistaken, it started showing up in, like, Joy of Cooking in the 1960s. But it's one of those things where I think a lot of hostesses might claim I was the one who did it first. That's a really great question. I should look into that. But I learned about Devils on Horseback a couple of years ago, I actually think it makes for an interesting addition to a party at this time of the year if you're throwing the devil into it.
Well, it's, devil's food cake. It really doesn't have
okay.
Any. Yeah.
Okay.
Charlie, thanks. That sounds like that's a good one. It's got the crunch. It's got the saltiness of the bacon. It's a nice combo.
As long as you don't accidentally swallow the toothpick, you're fine.
Exactly. Charlie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Hey, on that theme, we got an email from Deborah. Deborah emailed bacon-wrapped asparagus. Deborah says, I saw this on public TV last night and knew I was going to try making it. Have you done this, Lori, wrapping asparagus in bacon?
I don't wrap asparagus in nice, thick-cut, like, Nooski bacon.
Because you don't even taste the asparagus then, probably.
I do tend to go the Italian route, and if I'm going to wrap asparagus in anything of a pork product, I like prosciutto.
Ooh, okay.
And the lovely thing about that is you can serve it cold if you like. You know, just maybe briefly warm the prosciutto in a pan before you wrap your asparagus in it, or you can go full out Nigella Lawson, dunk the asparagus in a little bit of olive oil and balsamic vinegar, wrap the prosciutto up, and then throw it in the oven for 10 minutes so the prosciutto really gets crispy and the oil and the vinegar works on the asparagus and it gets a little bit wrinkly and very, very sweet.
That sounds fantastic. It's Food Friday. We're talking to our own Lori Skelton about great appetizers, hors d'oeuvres, and finger foods for your holiday get-together. You can still join in with your favorites or your questions at 800-642-1234. Lori, let's step back and talk about knowing your audience. What kind of things, when we're picking our hors d'oeuvres, et cetera, should we be thinking about?
Well, this is where I'm now questioning my status as a foodie, because I've gotten to this point in my life, and I have never heard about what is, in my opinion, some of the best party food out there. It comes from West Africa. Nigeria takes credit for it. Ghana takes credit for it. A lot of places take credit for what is called jollof rice. And this is rice that is cooked in a sauce of tomatoes, bell pepper, red onion, ginger, garlic, and as hot a chili as you can stand it. You throw all of that in the blender, and then you cook your rice with more red onion and garlic and tomato and turmeric and paprika. And the rice cooks in the sauce with all of these other aromatics. It cooks in the oven for about 30 minutes. And the first time I tried it, I just mixed it up with leftover roast chicken. And it was out of this world. But in Africa, you serve it with great steamed fish or with meats that have been stewed in more of that aromatic tomato sauce. I think this is a fantastic food. It's called a party food by a lot of people who talk about jollof rice. The problem is, it's spicy. Now, there's another etiquette question. You got a great dish, but you know it's going to be pushing some boundaries for people. Do you show up with the party with that or not? Again, it does come down to knowing your audience, but I'm sitting here going, I want people to try this. And you notice I didn't bring it to public radio? Several people told me, it's too spicy. So I didn't.
So there you were considering your less weak-palated public radio colleagues.
But
if
you do like spicy, give yourself a treat in the next several weeks. Go online and find a recipe for jollof rice. It's incredible.
And that's J-O-L-L-O-F.
Yes.
All right. Back to our callers now. We've got John on the line in Toma. John, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
I was wondering if your guest has ever heard of bacon-wrapped carrots. Sprinkled with brown sugar at the end when they're done.
Well, that's pretty straightforward.
I know about doing the bacon with brown sugar, and I just do that in the oven with no other veggies. I just spread out the bacon.
The carrots with brown sugar.
No, I'm talking about bacon.
Oh, the bacon with
brown sugar.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You candy your bacon. I've done it with brown sugar. I've done it with maple syrup. I've even done it with black walnut syrup from friends who tap their black walnut trees. I've never actually tried wrapping carrots with bacon, simply because carrots are a little bit firmer. How long do you cook yours so that you're not breaking your teeth off?
You bake them in the oven?
Yeah, for about how long?
I forget what it was. I think like 45 minutes, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so they're going to be oven roasted. They might caramelize a little depending on the temperature. So that's going to soften them up there.
So you're going to want a relatively low oven temperature. Otherwise, your bacon will just vaporize,
right?
Yeah, that's
true. Definitely.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot for the call, John. I mean, I'm seeing a theme here. Wrap bacon around not bacon, and you've got an appetizer.
Which of course, might scare off a few of your vegan friends, but there's got to be a workaround somewhere.
All right. Time for one more quick call. Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. I'll make it quick. Okay, write this down because this goes way back decades, and it's fantastic. You take a Triscuit. Now, it has to be a Triscuit. You put a wedge of Swiss cheese on there. You pop that in your mouth, and you chew that up a few chews, and then you toss a black olive in there, and you keep chewing. And the whole combination is amazing how it all shifts in the textures, and then you swig down either some Merlot or a Cabernet. It's got to be red wine. You wash it down with that, and it's like the fifth nosh and slurp of the whole party.
Gail, thank you so much. Except I'm picturing, you know, at home alone doing this over the kitchen sink for some reason. I don't know, Laura.
When you're coordinating that much, I mean that's like a Rockettes routine right there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds amazing. I don't know if I want to work that hard.
All right, Gail, thank you so much. Lori, thanks. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's Food Friday. That's Lori Skelton, WPR classical music host, Food Friday regular, but maybe not foodie. I don't know. You could find the spicy lemon marinated shrimp recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday.